God is good, isn't he? I want to talk about for just a few moments this evening resurrection power for today. We're coming up on Resurrection Sunday. That's always a special time, a time of remembrance, a time that we reflect, a time that we thank God for the things that he has done for us, and we remember all the pain and the suffering and the agony, and with all of the movies and plays and productions and all of that that goes on, none of it can really depict what Christ went through for us. So that, may that always stay in our hearts and our minds. But I'm glad he didn't stay on the cross. I'm glad he didn't stay in a tomb. But he came forth on that resurrection morn. In Philippians 3 and 10, I want to read this out of several different versions tonight. In the NIV, it simply says this: I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. In the New Living or the New King James Version, it says it this way: that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then the one that I really like to go to when you want to expound something is the Amplified Bible. And that simply says this: for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may also share in his sufferings to be continually transformed in the Spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may obtain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. I like that version. It's a little more detailed. It's a little more in depth. But I think what the writer is saying is everybody talks about wanting to know about the power of his resurrection. But to fully embrace the power of the resurrection of Christ, you've got to walk through some sufferings. You've got to understand what he walked, or at least try to understand. I think the Amplified puts it maybe the best for just grabbing a hold of it. He was saying, more than anything, I want to be able to fully understand the power of this resurrection simply by the actions of what Christ went through, the things that he walked through. Not that he wanted to go through everything, but how many knows we go through sufferings in this life? We go through some things we don't understand. And I truly believe it's through those sufferings or the things that we don't understand that will make us and break us as we walk in the power of his resurrection. How many knows in sufferings it's easy to quit? In difficult times, it's easy to say, you know what, if this is really what serving God's about, then I think I'll just go back the other way. And I think that's truly the essence of what the writer is saying, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, but really in order to get there, I'm probably going to have to walk through some things like Jesus did, which means we got to surrender our will to God and say, it's not my will. God, if you can move these things out of my way, remember his prayer in the garden, if it's possible, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, I'm going to walk this out in its fullness. I might have to go through some things. I pray that through our thoughts of resurrection and power for today, we understand we have the power. He has given us the power to overcome the works of the enemy, to walk through these things, to be empowered to go through life and to live life victorious. But it doesn't mean it's always going to be easy or a bed of roses. What it means is even in the hard times, God doesn't change. He doesn't fail. He's still there. In the times that we have to call out in the middle of the night, guess what? God is still God. He is still listening. In the mornings, he says his mercies are new every morning. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In other words, continue to persevere, continue to stay in there, continue to hold on to God. Understand, you might need enlightened, you might need strength, you might need God to speak into your spirit and give you some kind of understanding, but if you'll hold fast to the faith in Jesus Christ, he will see you through. And I truly believe that with all of my hearts. Thoughts on the resurrection is simply this. The dictionary says this about resurrection. It is the act of causing something that has ended or been forgotten or lost to exist again. Now, I want to pause there just with that. It's got a little bit more there. Exist again or to be used again. I'll just go ahead and read it. To revive something that was dead. Now, I have said something from the very beginning of this year, and I'm going to say it again tonight. You might hear it every service that they give me the chance to speak and all of that, but I'm just going to continue to say this. Repetition's a good learner. You keep saying things. They tell us in our modern day, it used to be say that if you learned something seven different ways, then you'd retain it and you'd have it there. You wouldn't forget it. Well, we might have it 52 different ways by the time the year's over. It's the same thing, only coming at you differently. But I've said this from the very beginning of the year. I'm going to say it tonight. I believe the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and it more abundant. And I want to speak to the moms and dads and the grandmas and grandpas that are here. If you have family, if you have a child that is away from God, if you have a spouse that is away from God, if you've got a mom or dad that's away from God, now is not the time to quit praying. Now is not the time to keep calling life into that situation, but now is the time to speak life over them. Now is the time to call them out of the darkness into the light. Now is the time to stand in what you know in the Word of God and call those things that are not as though they are and put the resurrection power behind it, realizing that Christ rose from the grave and he had the keys to the hell, death, and the grave when he come out of there, and he has given all power to you and I to call things to life and to call things back to living if we'll stand in his power. It's not in our power that that happens, but it's in calling on the name of the Lord and knowing that he is God. Begin to call that one that seems dead in their sin back to life. As Jesus called Lazarus back to life, call that person out of the dark into the light. I just believe it. I believe this is going to be a year that moms and dads are going to rejoice. That grandmas and grandpas, the prayers you've been praying that God is going to begin to answer, and you're going to see family members you never thought was going to budge out of the life that they've been in, and you're going to see them come home. God is doing something in this generation. Hell thinks it has it sewed up. Hell thinks the victory has already been won. But I believe on the day that Jesus died on that cross, hell might have thought that victory was won. I somehow think they knew better than that, but somehow we want to imagine that hell was throwing a party on that day, but on that third day, resurrection power occurred, the power of God that went into Jesus Christ. He came out of that tomb and he rolled the stone away. Not, I believe Rich said it on Sunday night, not that he could get out, but that we could get in and see that he was alive and well, and he's about to roll some stones that's not going to be witness to what they have done, but to what he has done. And he is moving in this hour on behalf of people that are praying and people that are seeking God. You see, I believe with all of my heart that we need to expect God to begin to revive things that have been seemingly dead back unto life. Back, that there's going to be the breath of God that is breathed into them and things are about to happen. You see, whenever we come to Resurrection Sunday and we get into this week, a lot of people, you know, they call it Holy Week and all of that, and they go down through and they read about the resurrection story or the Easter story and all of that. But do you realize that in all of the world, Christians and we that believe are the only ones that truly celebrate the Resurrection Sunday and the resurrection power? We are the only ones that celebrate this around the world, to the Christian believer. Other religions don't celebrate it. Other religions don't embrace it. Other religions don't grab a hold of it. They don't understand it. In fact, they may mock it and they may ridicule it and all of that. But I'm here to tell you, we've got something to celebrate when we're here and we're walking out this life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you and I, and we have a reason to rejoice and to give glory to God and to understand that He is still moving and ministering in hearts and lives today. That He is the one we're celebrating. He is the one true living God. And today we need to celebrate Him. But can I just say it this way? It's kind of like Pentecost. We don't need to celebrate Resurrection Sunday once a year. It's just like Pentecost Sunday. Brother Fletcher used to say when he would get into a mix of ministers and they'd say, "Oh, Pentecost Sunday's coming." And he said, "Well, we just had that last week." He said, "We're a Pentecostal church. We celebrate Pentecost every week." And that was always his thing with people talking about Pentecost Sunday. Yeah, we set a special day aside, but can I tell you, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, from our dead works, from the things that we were in, from the darkness we were in, has brought us into the light and raised this mortal body and quickened us and done the work inside of us, we need to celebrate the resurrection power every day of the year. We need to walk in that power and that freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Not the things of one time a year or one day or one week a year, but we need to walk in that power that where Christ has made us free. I don't know about you. I'm excited. I'm excited. Can we just stop and pray for a moment tonight? I'm going to share something. The enemy has fought this production that we're about to put on all week. Can we just put something into practice? Now the main tape thing, the main track thing has went kapooey. That's why you had to put up with me with the guitar. It just plain went kapooey. Tyler's been working on it, and Tyler's also been fretting about it. I'm just going to say that. It gets to be pressure when you're coming down to the last final things. Anybody that's ever been over something? But can we pray that God somehow will touch that thing, whether it's a wire, whether it's the iPad, whether it's whatever it is that's hindering that thing from working, that God would step in right now and bring life back into that thing, that when after service he goes up there, it's just going to work, and it's going to work Sunday, and everything's going to be fine. Can we do that? Do you believe God can do that? That He's concerned about those type of things? Father, I pray right now, God, you know the work that has went into this production. You know the work of the people that have come week in and week out, and they've studied, they've prepared, they've planned, they've gotten everything ready, and now the enemy is trying to meddle in this thing, God. He's trying to put his hand or his foot in the middle of it. And Lord, I pray tonight that whatever it is that's hindering that machine, whatever it is that's touched that iPad, God, right now in the name of Jesus, it will begin to work as soon as service is over. It will work every day. It will work on Sunday morning, and everything will go according to your plan to glory in your name. And God, that you would just go and do the work. I pray that you'd be with Tyler tonight, God, that you would touch him, put everything at peace within in his spirit, God. He's been over this. He's been leading it. I know what that is when the enemy tries to mess in the realm of our mind, God. And I pray that you would put a hedge about him, bring peace into him, God, and that you would just touch every part of this circumstance. And we ask it in the mighty and the holy name of Jesus. And everyone said in agreement tonight, amen. I'm just believing that that thing's going to be okay. I believe God wants to get glory in this day, but the enemy is going to fight every way that he can. But I believe God is moving. We have resurrection power. How many has God ever touched? I mean, he's touched your mortal body. He's touched your mind. He's touched your spirit. He's brought peace in the midst of the storm. That's what we're talking about, the God that shows up and he moves and he ministers in all of those things. In Romans 4 and 17, it says this, "And it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." In Romans 8:11, one I've already used, "But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." I'm telling you, the world can weigh on you. Things that are going on can happen. But he's saying that if you know Christ and you have God inside, that spirit that's inside of you will quicken your mortal body. You'll be able to look at things and speak those things that are not as though they already are. That's why I keep saying this. If you've got a child that's away from God, a husband or a wife that's away from God, a family member that's away from God, a friend at work that you've been praying for, speak their name out before the throne of God. Call them back home. I truly believe when you go back and you study the prodigal son and how that he left, and I spoke on this not very long ago, but it's just been in my spirit since the first of the year. And I truly believe, I'm not going to go on the Facebook route, but I truly believe that father went daily to the road. His son left home. His son wanted his portion. His son went wayward. He did riotous living. He was out doing his own thing. And I truly will stand behind this. I'm glad there wasn't social media where the father could see every little detail and know every little tidbit that was there. But I believe in that father's heart, knowing a father's love, living a father's love out. I believe every day he went, if I can say, to the mailbox, and he began to look down the road to see if anybody that he knew was coming. It reminded me of years ago. My nephew was graduating. We were pastoring at Romney, and I was coming up to the graduation. I was running late. It's when they did it at the football field, and I had to park way up the road on Dennett Road, and I was running late, and my mom and sister was in the stands there getting ready for graduation to start, and I hit the other side of the football field, and I started walking across, and my mom looked over at my sister and said, "There's Ivan." And Deb looked at her and said, I guess she said, "Well, how in the world do you know that's him?" And she said, "I can tell the way he's walking." Well, I'm slow. Cindy will attest to that. I'm slow when I walk. I have one speed, and if you want the other, I'm probably sitting down. And that's the way I've always been. But I've got a certain gait, and my mother knew that gait. She seen it. She said, "There you go. That's Ivan right there." And I walked over and sat down with him. I believe that father went every day. I believe he called his name out every day. I believe he knew that sooner or later, God was not only going to hear his prayer, he was going to answer that prayer. That's why I am so strongly, I don't even know how to explain it in my spirit, but I am so strongly set on every day, those that I know that don't know the Lord, I need to call their name out and say, "God, they know the way. They've walked in the way. They grew up in the way. And God, I'm calling them back home that they'll come the same way they left. Only when they come back, they're going to be changed by the power of God. There's going to be something happen in their life on the way." And I'm going to be real honest. We have got to get a mindset of being prepared. It doesn't matter what junk they were in. When they come home, we've got to love them. We've got to embrace them. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Jesus loved us with an everlasting love. He died for this whole world. He died for you and for me. And some of us didn't come from very good places when we come to Christ. Some came from ugly backgrounds. Some came from things that nobody knew. Others had secret things that nobody else even knew to pray about with them. But God got a hold of their heart and brought them out of the muck and the mire. And thank God he loved us in spite of us sometimes. But get ready. Get ready with open arms. Because I love that story whenever I read it. And that day finally came. The son came to his senses. He's walking back home. He's gonna already got his speech. And the dad sees him afar off. And I was studying this in the history of Jewish men. And older men, when you go back and study that, older men was just like me. They did not run. They did not run. It was undignified. It was unheard of. It was an embarrassment, not just to them or to their family. It was an embarrassment to the city or the place they lived. It was unheard of that older men would run after anything. They were established. They were proper. They were better than that. They didn't run after anything. And all of a sudden, when he seen his son, the Bible says he took off running and he embraced him, wrapped his arms around him and kissed him. And I'm going to tell you, you better get your running shoes on for some of us. You better get your running shoes on. Get the embarrassment out of the way. Go ahead and set that aside. Settle that with you and God in the prayer closet, because when that son or daughter or husband or wife or mom or dad or whatever that relationship is begins to come down that road and you see them coming home, you better get ready to run to them, embrace them, hug them, love on them, get them ready for whatever God has for them and receive them back into the fold. Because God's about to do something. I truly believe that with all of my heart. Whenever I begin to study this today and I begin to pray about what to speak on, God just kept taking me over, not only in that story, but he kept taking me into Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and there's times I can't explain. I know it's Easter. I know that's really what we ought to focus on, the cross and the tomb and all of that. But I'm going to tell you, all through the Bible, there are threads of the resurrection power of God. There are threads, and there's types and shadows, and there's the wind of God blowing and the moving and all of the things, if you want to embrace it that way, that God is just doing something. And he shows us all through Scripture that the same God back here is the same God we're living and walking and breathing with today. I don't know. You go to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and you find that Israel's a mess. It's about the valley of the dry bones. And Ezekiel is saying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and he took me out over the valley. And he took me out over the valley, and it was a valley of bones, and the valley of bones was very dry, very parched. And God was just showing him the condition of Israel. And the ironic thing was, when I begin to read about this again today, it was talking about how the bones was a massacred army, was the appearance. It was completely emaciated. It wasn't piled up with heaps of bones on top of bones where they were killed and then hauled out and just threw into the valley. This was a battle that had went on. This was something that had taken place, and the men and those that were out there fighting, they literally lost their lives in the fight. Because the Bible says not only was it full, but they were scattered. They were disjointed. They were picked completely apart. They had been there a long time. They were whitewashed. They were bleached out. But they were also dismembered one from the other, meaning that animals must have just ravaged through there at some point. And they were scattered throughout the whole valley. And God begins to speak to Ezekiel. And he sees this. And I'm going to just tell you something. It's a picture of Israel. We know that. It's a picture of the family of God, the army of God, the children of God. And he's trying to speak to them. He's trying to let them see their condition. He's trying to let them see where they are at spiritually at that moment. And all of a sudden, God speaks to Ezekiel and he says, "O son of man, can these bones live?" Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a world that the enemy thinks he's won. Hell has just unleashed 100-fold of what it used to be, at least what I'm in my mind, maybe more. You know, there was a sense of a little bit of fear of the house of God. There was a sense of a little bit of fear of the word of God, of the things of God. And now hell has just come in and sat right down in the church. There is no fear of God anymore. Sin occurs right in the house of God. And people are fighting over how much sin they can get away with and still be called a child of God. The old fight used to be what hymnal we was going to use. What color of the carpet was going to be when they put a new carpet into the church. That's what caused church splits. What kind of pew it would be. Those were the fights that occurred and caused church splits. Now it's over, what can I do and still hold on to the things of the world and still be a Christian and be okay? What am I allowed? How far can I go? How close to the edge of the brim can I get? Can I put one foot in and one foot out? It's where we're at. We become disjointed. Many people are drying up. Many people are losing their faith. Many people are walking away from God. Many people are saying, "What's the use?" Then you add on the things and the events of the world that has went on in the last few years, and people are saying, "My goodness, can it get any worse?" Hang on, it could. See, there's a hell prepared for those that don't know the Lord. And we might think it's bad right now, but it's not going to be anything compared to what the afterlife is going to be if you're away from Jesus. That's why it's so important to keep praying. And keep calling names and keep drawing them in. Keep throwing that lifeline. Keep telling them Jesus loves them and love them in that sense. And let them know that God still loves them and you're still praying for them. There's a hell to shun. The enemy has sold hell to this generation. Watching documentaries, watching drug addiction documentaries and trying to learn about that world because not understanding it doesn't help in this day. But trying to learn about the things that is gripping the hearts and the minds and the spirit of young people, and not even just young people, but even older people in the day we're living, and trying to see what is such the draw. One of the greatest things they talk about now, it's not that great to them, it's the next greatest thing, is death. They've tried getting high. They've been drunk. They've done all kinds of illicit things. They've done everything that they can imagine. And they said, the next ultimate high is going when I die. But they don't realize waiting on them past that gate is a devil's hell that is willing and open and wide to receive them. Church, we need to pray. We need to pray. Can these bones live again? I love what Ezekiel says. He says, only you know, God. Only you have that answer. Only you know. And God's showing him the condition. And all you have to do is look around. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Have you ever been around young people? And I'm not knocking young people, believe me. This goes into the young adults. This goes into the older adults. Can I just say that? This is an epidemic that's sweeping our country. Drug addiction is in many forms and fashions. Alcoholism is in many forms and fashions. Homosexuality is in many forms and many fashions. Things that people are getting addicted to, drawn to, things that are happening. Pornography is in many forms of addiction that is taking place. People are being ensnared. It's not just one little thing. It's an open smorgasbord that is out there that is drawing and wooing. And it's not just our teenagers. It's every person is at risk. The enemy is working overtime to kill, steal, and destroy and dismantle the church. But I'm still glad Christ came, that we can have life and it more abundant. He said, only you know, O Lord, only you know whether these things will happen or not. And whenever he began to look at those things, God began to tell him something. He said, I want you to command the four winds of the earth to come and begin to blow and to bring life back into this place. And all of a sudden, he began to call. And I began to see where God began to move through the words and the hand of Ezekiel and what Ezekiel was saying. He said, oh God, only you know if these things can live or not. And he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's why I think it's important. When that thing, when that person looks like they're too far gone, it looks like, and the enemy will laugh at you, and the enemy will say, there's no need to pray anymore. There's no need to call their name to God anymore. He said to prophesy over those dry bones. Prophesy over that life. Don't you lose hope. We're talking about resurrection power, the life that came out of that grave, the life that now lives in me. He says, prophesy over those things that appear to be dead. And he begins to prophesy. And as he begins to prophesy, he begins to prophesy life. Let me tell you something. The world is prophesying death over those that don't know God. The world is already prophesying that over them. The world is saying, I've got them right where I want them. The world is saying, they'll never escape this place. They're too far gone. They're never going to get out of this valley. They're never going to see breath again. They're never going to walk in freedom again. But yet the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, you see what seems like as a hopeless situation, a lifeless situation, a dry situation, a place where life is never going to occur and people are certainly not going to get up and walk out of, a place that seems to have them all the way, has them all the way in its clutches. And the Lord said, I want you to begin to prophesy, Ezekiel. I want you to begin to speak life over them. I want you to begin to stand on the edge of this valley and just speak it out. You may not see nothing. You may not hear nothing. You may not, but by faith begin to speak it out. And all of a sudden, as Ezekiel began to speak life out over that valley, something began to happen. Something began to take place. It says that all of a sudden there was a rattling or a shaking that began to go on and those bones began to come back together. Can I tell you, it may not seem like a lot. It's still a skeletory person there. There's really nothing there but except a skeleton now, but it's coming back to life. You may not see the whole picture when you begin to prophesy, when you begin to speak life. You may not see the ending and the beginning of that prophecy, but continue to prophesy. As he's seen things begin to come together, the Lord said, I want you to begin to breathe or speak that the breath of God would come down in this place. And they begin to come together. The word says that the sinew or the muscles and all of that begin to come back on them, that the flesh came upon them, and there stood a mighty army, yet there was no life in them. I'm going to tell you, that'll preach on a Sunday morning. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm seeing life begin to happen. I'm seeing change begin to occur. I'm seeing those that one time said, Pastor, I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm going my own way. I finally found happiness. I found freedom. I found this. I found that. I found something else. They found out as they've tried to explore those things that it brought emptiness. It brought death. It brought lifelessness into their. There was no hope after it was all over and it was all gone. They found out it wasn't what they thought it was, and I'm still calling their name out to Jesus every day. I'm still calling upon the name of the Lord on their behalf, and I'm seeing changes occur. The life of God may not be there right now, But he said, call to the four winds of the earth, that the breath of God would enter into them. And I want to tell you, it's time the church begins to call to the four winds of the earth again, from the north, south, east, and the west. And we call that the breath of God will begin to go into those that already know. There's signs of life there. There's signs of God moving there. There's something occurring there. There's a shifting and a shaking that is going on in their life. They're finally recognizing him once in a while. They're finally agreeing and not arguing every time you talk. There's something that is turning inside of them. They may not even want to surrender it right yet, but you call the breath of God to enter into them, and that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead to grab a hold of their heart in this day and raise them up out of that darkness. Raise them up. That God would show that he is still God, and that we would show we still believe that he is God. This is supposed to be teaching. Man, how do you teach Ezekiel? I don't know. He began to move and he began to minister, and there, as Ezekiel prophesied, all of a sudden there's a noise and a shaking and a rattling, and all of a sudden that mighty army rises up. And God said, okay, O house of Israel, you thought you was dead, you thought you was away, you thought you was dry, you thought you was scattered and disjointed, but I'm going to show you that I'm about to raise you up in this generation. I'm about to do something new in this house of the Lord. I'm about to do something with my people. In other words, he was saying, I've not forgotten you. I've not heard your prayers. I've not turned a deaf ear unto you, but my hand has not been shortened, my ear is not deaf, that I've not heard your cry. And he said, I'm about to do something in your midst. And as I have raised up this army in the midst of this desert, I'm about to raise up the army of Israel once again. Can I tell you, I believe the word of God transcends all of time and all of the testings of man. And I believe if he would do it back then in Ezekiel's day, he will do it for you and I today. Mom and dad, again, don't give up. Continue to call their name. Don't give up, no matter how bleak it may look, because God gives us signs through his word, and he gives us a witness in our spirit that God's word is yes and amen, and what he has done here, he will do again. I believe it. The old saying, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I looked at Tyler earlier today and I said, well, it's Wednesday, but Friday's coming. I'm telling you, the enemy wants to mess anywhere he can to mess something up. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There are people all over this room tonight that can attest to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, who brought dead works back to life in one way or another, in your mortal body, in your family, in your situation. It's not always just a physical thing. There's times God turns finances around. There's times that God turns other things around. There's times he's healed automobiles and he's done all kinds of things that seem silly to those that don't believe. But I want to tell you, there is something about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he is still working and he is still moving in this day. He is still ministering, and he can touch any circumstance that is before him, and he can turn it around when we truly believe that he is God. He is more than enough. He is more than enough, church. I believe that he is the Son of God, that he is moving in our midst even tonight. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for just a moment. I believe he wants to touch every situation. I'm glad he arose. I'm glad hell, the tomb, the bowels of this earth didn't have the power to hold him. But it was time to come up out of that grave. He came. He came. And he is still alive today. And I'm just going to ask, as we got heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment, you've been praying for someone. You've been praying. It seems like it's a lost cause, and I'm going to leave that term very loosely, but you feel like it's a lost cause. The enemy has told you it's a lost cause. They may have told you, I'm a lost cause. But in your spirit, you've been praying. In your prayer time, you've been calling their name out to God. You haven't given up. You hadn't bought that lie that God's not able. And tonight, you just want one more time to pray and to call on God. I want you to stand right where you're at. You're going to call their name out one more time. That resurrection power, that same power that raised Christ from the dead. I'm just going to call their name out. I believe almost everybody in this room standing tonight. I just want you to reach your hand out. We don't have to come to the front tonight. If you want to, you can, and I'll pray with you. But I truly believe we can just reach out to God, and God can move and minister right where we're at.